In this video, I have Himmat Shaligram with me. Himmat is an experienced multimedia news reporter. He is also a podcast producer and a podcast host. Currently, he is serving as a podcast producer at the Blanchard House, which is a podcast production company. He has been the producer and the host of the Big Story podcast, which is a podcast introduced by the Quint, which is a news media organization in India. So in this video, we are going to be discussing about the podcast production stages. Himmat also shares how you can come up with great ideas for your podcast episodes, which will be hit among the audience, how you can build your credibility as a content creator. And then we also discuss the trends and the future of the podcasting industry. Himmat shares his experience hosting and producing the Big Story podcast, along with the perks and challenges.
I think the barrier to entry for podcasts is quite low. You essentially require just a decent microphone and an internet connection. Nowadays, you can edit like a good podcast, an episode on your phone itself. What was a challenge for me was lack of equipment. I think I told you this before as well. I produce most of my episodes at the Quint using recording my entire voiceover and recording the guest also at some points on my phone. And for a simple OnePlus phone, which I recorded from. But what I essentially wanted to create was a process which can, where I just go and hit a few switches, and that's how I edit and record my entire episode. So I used to go down to my car and record my voiceovers over there, because I tried doing it in like a cupboard, which is like the start of usually every podcaster. I think everyone goes to a cupboard. But for me, doing it in a car in a quiet basement was better, because it just gave me the same type of sound quality, like assured sound quality, because the dimensions of inside, like inside a car can't change that much. So you're stuck with that, and that's great. And this car is a great place to start if you have a car. And I think the rewards is, for me, since I did a daily podcast for a very long time, helped me hyper focus and hyper learn the core skills in podcasting, whether it be scripting, interviewing, doing your voiceovers, enunciating your voice, modulating your voice as well. Going to, like, if it's like a very serious podcast, I remember some of the army related podcasts that I did. One was about the death of General Bipin Rawat when he passed away, 2022. You have to be a bit somber, you have to be a bit more serious over there. But then if you're talking about like Virat Kohli's like 100th century or something like that, you have to be a bit upbeat. So learning how to modulate your voice in that way, that's a great way. I think that's one of the hyper-learning my core skills for podcasting is the best thing that I've had so far.
So you mentioned there are like different components to podcasting. Can you just lay down how many stages are there for somebody who is wanting to start a podcast?
Okay. So I can talk about my experience, where it was first ideation. So for a news podcast, you know, which is daily podcast, you want to have something which is trending, which is which people are talking about, which is in the news. So I used to read a lot of newspapers in the morning, read a lot of editorials, and see what is the big news of the day. So once you have that, that's your idea. Then you also need to think about the kind of guests that you can speak to. So like, how far can you take this idea? Like if you're talking about, let's say the RBI repo rate, as I mentioned earlier. So like, who is someone in the industry that you can speak to? Like, you would preferably want someone who can speak logic to it, because it's news. So getting someone like that, and then doing your research. So doing at least 3 to 4 hours of research was essential for me, whether it be fact-checking what's happening in the news, whether it be just getting the numbers right. So ideation, getting a guest, research, and then interviewing a guest is another one, because you have to do it if you're doing it daily, you have to find a time in the afternoon after they have had lunch and just before they're sleepy where they can talk. So that was like a crucial window between 2 to 4 when people have had their lunch and are a bit lazy. That's when you can do most of your interviews. And then scripting. Scripting was a big deal because it's a news podcast or any podcast that you do, you need to be assured that what you're talking, what you're saying in your voiceover is making sense. So scripting, lastly, is recording your voiceover, and then is editing. Editing, whether it be on Audacity or on Adobe Audition or on websites like Zencastr as well, which provide editing options. So, yeah. And publish.
You used to, you know, read newspapers and then blog articles to come up with new ideas for episode. So how do you find that this particular topic will be a hit among the audience?
So for me, it was a bit simple because it was the kind of news cycle refresh rate that you have in India is very, very fast. So every 2 or 3 minutes, say something which is trending, whether it be like some news event or it'd be like some entertainment news or anything else. But for me, how I selected topics was that, is there enough to talk about? And specifically, is there a big question which has not been answered or is very complicated, which needs to be broken down? Like whether it be, I remember talking, doing an episode on the Char Dham Highway project, which is happening. So it being, there's so much money invested in that project. Like there's thousands and thousands of crores invested, but doesn't make sense. So why doesn't it make sense? Essentially is why, how you break down the entire thing. Or understanding like why wars happen and why Russia is going to like fighting with Ukraine, or why India is doing something else. There needs to be a bigger question which you need to answer. And if you can provide value in that, that's how you should select your topics, your episode topics.
And what about scripting? So do you like properly read your voiceover word to word while you're recording the podcast, or do you like write bullet points? And how do you think a newbie should approach this whole idea of scripting?
So scripting, I wrote the entire script. Like I wrote even like laugh here in like brackets, or I wrote like I made things, sentences or words in bold so that I know when to enunciate it. So like you're talking about this and you're talking about this. So enunciating the and over there. So you should, I think, in the initial stages of producing your podcast, write scripts so that you know what you're reading and what you're sounding like. Because there's a big difference in that as well. And as you get more comfortable with the mic, there's a difference between when you're doing a video camera, when you're doing like a video podcast, or when you're doing a podcast. For a podcast, the mic or the microphone, at some point, it just disappears from your field of vision, and you just start speaking normally to like your microphone without thinking that's being recorded. So you need to be like very, very focused here. So in the initial stages, I would recommend that you write a few scripts, write down at least bullet points, if not the entire script, and then read that out loud. And try to be as natural as possible. And that naturalness in your voice will come with a lot of practice in at least like 10, 15 episodes before you are okay with your listening to your own voice and editing your own voice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Himmat, I know it's like really awkward to listen to yourself and even watch yourself when you're just getting started. Like, oh, this is how I sound. And it's not the way you sound to others, but it's just this awkwardness in the start. So how do you deal with that? How do you not like overthink on you sounding crap, or you know, you're looking shitty in a video?
I think you can't do anything about looking shitty in a video if you are the way you are. But I think at least when it comes to podcasts, you should get a trusted person to listen to it, like at least a few. For me, it was my then girlfriend, now wife, who like just gave me very, very honest feedback, like you sound crap right now. Okay, this is good. Like keep that tempo, keep that level of like just hype in your voice. So yeah, it does take a lot of getting used to, especially if you have a different podcasting voice and if you're not, if you have normal speaking voice. So like for me, there was a difference because I normally talk very fast. So I had to like slow down and then talk normally to a mic and also modulate my voice in a different way. So if there is, if you have that difference, then you're great. If not, it just takes getting used to. And after a while you start, it helps in editing yourself very fast, knowing your podcasting voice, because you know where you will fumble. You'll know, looking at a word on my script, I know I'll fumble here. So I'll especially go down and like redo that sentence like at least 3-4 times and just pick the best ones. So it just gets getting used to, but I think honest feedback from a trusted person in your life is great, and they will tell you if you're sounding crap or not. Yeah.
Another thing I noticed creators do is they start very enthusiastically, and over a period of time, it just fades. Yeah. The enthusiasm fades. Nobody is listening to you in the start. You sound crappy. Yeah. Your content might be crappy as well. How do you get out of the, you know, content creating hamster wheel? And when do you like get your way out of the boredom of creating content? How do you do it?
At least news was like a different episode every day. Since it was news, it was a different episode every day. But even with that, you do go into a spiral. You do, it does become monotonous after a while, because then you know, okay, I have a 1 minute intro. I have to put this track here. Then I have to put my intro over here. Like I have to put, what do you call it? The theme song of the podcast over here. Then I start here. Then the first interview person comes here. Da, 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 da. So it does, it did become a very monotonous for me. So what I did was I started to pester my executive producer and editor of trying new formats. So like doing like live podcasting was one thing, like because we had in 2020, early 2022, we had Twitter Spaces, which came up like late 2021. So like doing live podcasting, challenging myself a bit more in terms of a live audience. And since my podcast was hosted on the Quinn's website, it did bring a lot of, like, if you're doing a live podcast from a big Twitter page, big Twitter handle, it does bring a lot of live audience to it. And that adds a lot of pressure, but it's also exciting for you if you're in a rut. The other thing that I did was I used to just go into our sound library and music library and go through all different types of music and think about the episodes where I can like add this kind of music. So just like being excited about, okay, I'm gonna add this song which I have like downloaded and put in my folder for a very, very long time, and I know this will work for that. So that's how I used to personally get like excited about it.
You mentioned you tried experimenting with different ideas within your podcast show. So it so happens that your audience is, accustomed to a particular kind of an episode, like segments of within an episode. And then all of a sudden, as a creator, you want to test out this new idea. So how do you strike a balance between, you know, experimenting new ideas versus keeping your audience engaged with the kind of format they prefer consuming?
So I remember when we started live podcasting, we had a rule for it, which was if it was a topic which would go on for more than 7 hours, which is trending for more than 7 hours on Twitter, only then we'll do a live podcast. Or since most of our episodes, like I think 90% of our episodes were scripted episodes, where we're writing a proper script. We're writing at least like a 1300 to 1400 word script. And that's every day that you're writing that. So choosing when to do it is very important, because you don't want to talk live about something which is quite stupid or not a lot of people will engage. Like we did a live episode about Elon Musk buying Twitter on Twitter Spaces, and that was great because that was like a bit of irony as well. Like we don't, at that point we didn't know if Twitter will exist the next day or not. So that was fun. And so spacing it out, I think 2 or 3 experiments a month is good, because your audience will react to you. I think if you're engaged with your audience quite a bit, then you do get feedback.
You had a daily show. So for someone who's like publishing like 2-3 times a week, how would you suggest them to space out, like once a week or maybe every two weeks?
I think once a fortnight, I think is good.
Like we see with every content creator, in the beginnings, you're all alone and nobody's there to support you and stuff like that. But over a period of time, you start gathering people who like what you're talking. So what do you think, what are the components that you need to reflect as a podcast host or a content creator to build your credibility?
For me, it was easy. I was working for a news organization, so that came with a lot of credibility. But I think personally, what I experienced with guests was that I was doing my research right. Like when I was talking about something when it comes to like foreign policy, or I was talking about like nuclear energy was one topic I did. If I'm talking sense and talking logic to with the guest, I see that in the next episode or next time I'm getting them on the podcast as well, they really want to come on and talk to me. They especially want to come on because they're talking to me and they're talking to someone who has researched a lot about this or is genuinely excited about what they're talking. So I think being very interested in your podcast genre or topic is really, really good and will help with your credibility as well. Like one example is, like one of the biggest YouTubers there is Marcus Brownlee. He's MKBHD. And he always says that there are tons of tech channels on YouTube. Like every other person starts a tech channel. I know 5 people who have tech channels in my friend circle. What sets him apart is that he really, really likes tech. So whether it's not just smartphones, but whether it be like VFX studios or robotic cameras or anything else. So there's no burnout. What happens most with creators is that they do burn out after a while, and happened with me as well, because you just keep on putting in so much of your time and you get very little back sometimes, especially if you're a young content creator. But if you're really, really invested in telling or helping a consumer, or helping someone, for in my case, it was just helping a citizen in their voting decisions. That was the main objective of my show. So if you're really invested in that, that will show in like the kind of guests that you're getting, that will help build credibility as well. Because I've had a lot of guests of like big stature who kept on coming back on my on the Big Story show just to speak to me, especially in the pandemic as well, where you have where I have people from the Indian COVID-19. The people who basically made decisions for India, I had people like that on my show as well. I had like people from the Observer Research Foundation, doctors from Apollo Hospital, former ambassadors to Russia during the Russia-Ukraine war. So if you're genuinely interested and eager about your topic, yeah, credibility will come.
So you need to just give all of you within whatever you're creating, and then look into what people are getting out of it rather than what you are getting out of it. You're mentioning about guests. So how do you identify the perfect fit guest for an episode?
Let's say it's a sports theme that you're doing. So I'll actually first see if they've written something about. If I'm discussing Virat Kohli, I'll see if what they've written about Virat Kohli or not. And I'll try to find if they've done any interviews in the past, how engaging they are with the interviewer. Are they talking sense or not? Are they like too loud or personality? Or are they too like if they're not talking enough or not? So you get that vibe. Like once you have interviewed a lot of people, you get that vibe if that person is going to be very engaging or not. That's one. Just to try and find if they've done any other audio or video interviews in the past, that's a great start. If not, I was in a position where I had access to a lot of people. So I used to just do like a very simple, quick introduction and do a pre-interview. Talk to them, see if they're free today, free tomorrow or not. see how they sound on the phone, and ask them like a few basic questions just to test it out if what you want to speak about in your show is being spoken about or not. Is that guy on the same plane or not? Yeah, same page or not. Yeah. So you can just like a quick pre-interview and see what they're doing. And that helps a lot. That helped me a lot of times by just saying no to guests and saying, sorry, we have dropped that item now, so we can't do the interview now. So that helps. Doing a pre-interview helps before committing or like your time and energy and resources into editing it, their voice. Because you will have to, you are going to be the person editing yourself and then them too. So, yeah.
Given all of this and the listener feedback is of course one of the things, how do you measure the success of the podcast? Yeah.
So for my time at the Quint, we used a platform called Audioboom, which gave us basically listen time, and then a gendered view also, like how many males and females have, like what phone they're using, like using an iPhone or the Android, which platform they're using to listen to your podcast. So it's Apple Music, Spotify, JioSaavn, Ghana. JioSaavn and Ghana are very big in India compared to like any other country. And also listen time and when they actually clock off. So you can see like your listen time is at its peak. If it's like a 20-minute episode, then your listenership is going great by around 10-minute mark. And it's just slowly falling off. So then you know and you can learn if your audience is falling off midway and how to keep them engaged. So you need to have a hook in your script or in your podcast as well. Like we're going to be discussing this later or with this guest about exactly how this happens or how that happens.
By when do you think it is appropriate nodding on analytics?
I think at the 100 episode mark.
Oh, not until then.
Yeah, not until then. I think because in the first 20, you're still discovering how to, if you're like a very, very young and startup creator, the first 20 are just, I think, practice rounds for yourself. Because only after the, because then at that time, you're given about 100, 200 hours to editing and the podcast. When you're at the 100 mark, then you're confident about knowing, you know exactly where you're going wrong and what you're good at, what you're not good at, and where you can improve at the 100 episode mark. And if it's from then, if it's not working out, then you know exactly where you went wrong. I think the first 20 rounds are your practice sessions. The 20 to 80 mark, 80 count is just you feeling out what your audience wants, what is working for you or not. 80 to 100 is you trying to perfect that. And after 100, you can start seeing some visible results. Because before that, you might get like one listen, you might get three lessons in the first 20. So it's just, first 20 is just you playing ball and seeing what works for you.
Now, so podcast SEO is one thing that, you know, many podcasters are trying to leverage to, you know, increase their listenership. So there are these things like the title of the podcast and the description, which needs to be like SEO optimized to make your show rank on Google. So how do you approach SEO? How has your experience been with SEO? And when do you think is the right time to start prioritizing?
I think for podcast SEO in India, it's mostly the show notes which come up on Google. So I think optimizing that makes the most sense, and your title as well. So I used to use Google Trends a lot when like choosing words specifically for the title or the headline, the story, and even the description as well. Trying to try to squeeze as many words as possible, like if it's like Google or anything else. So not trying to word feed the entire story, but do it smartly as well. I think there are a lot of AI tools nowadays as well that you can use. I used to use an AI tool earlier as well, just to like SEO check a story.
What trends are you seeing which are shaping the podcasting industry?
So right now, since I work not in the Indian sphere, in Indian podcast industry anymore, but from what I can know is that advertising or getting revenue is essentially from your podcast is getting a lot more difficult. Like if you're reading the news about the industry right now, there's a lot many layoffs happening across the board, whether it be Audible, Spotify, or the BBC or any other big podcasts as well, like Gimlet or Wondery podcast, because there's a lack of revenue now, which is happening, which is also the big problem in India. There is a lack of awareness when it comes to podcasts, and there's a greater lack of awareness when it comes to how to make money from podcasts, how advertisers don't know right now what a podcast is, or they don't know how to leverage a podcast. You have a few big podcasts in India, in big podcasting studios like IVM, or you have, like IVM is the biggest one that you have. And they know how to leverage podcasts because they have influential hosts or they have big personalities as hosts. But other than that, the industry is going in a downturn right now, but I think it will stabilize in the long term because listenership will increase. There is, of course, screen fatigue as well. Like how I discovered podcasts. Like I basically did not want to watch a movie. I want to listen to a movie while I'm driving my car or I'm doing like jhadu pocha bartan, whatever I'm doing. So I have screen fatigue when it comes to that. So I'll just play a YouTube video and do something else and not pay attention to the video. So I think slowly there will be a lot of screen fatigue, especially in India, and people will move to audio. And I think let's hope.
So that's how you see the future going. The screen fatigue is going to help podcasting industry.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I think the eyewear industry is going to get a big boom, and screen fatigue will encompass everyone. And eventually, everyone should.
What other thing do you think will add to the podcasting landscape?
I think true storytelling, or like true stories or non-fiction stories, will add a lot more interest when it comes to podcasting, or at least the kind of shows which are coming out. Because I think with the amount of social media that our generation or the next generation is like consuming, there's a lot less truth of what we're reading or consuming online. So I think there's going to be a big demand for shows which are actually credible, which are actually true, and that will hold to like a bigger standard over there. I think conversation podcasts, like how you have, you know, Beer Biceps, who just do like hour, 2 hour long podcasts and make a ton of money with it. But I think there's a space now being created for more creators who can bring value to their podcast rather than just talking to someone about it. Like with you, Manali, like you're talking to creators or like former podcasts or journalists, and who can essentially try and encourage new podcasters or like young content creators about what to do, what can go wrong. So there's value in the show that you're creating.
Before we close, Himmat, would you like to have some departing advice for newbie podcasters or someone who's wanting to start creating video podcasts as well?
I think if you want to create a podcast, don't hesitate about like I need to buy like a very expensive microphone, I need to get like padding done, and I need to like get a computer and like audio editing software, anything else. You don't need anything like that. You need a decent phone. If you don't have a phone, if you have a laptop, great. Record on a laptop. There are websites where the microphone is essentially great. That the website has, and that will record and edit your podcast for yourself. So if you're thinking about developing a podcast or producing a podcast, the barrier to you hitting publish is just one day. Like the timeline from you recording a podcast to you hitting publish is just one day. This doesn't take a lot of effort. What does take a lot of effort is adding meaning to your series, being excited about what you're talking about, and editing your voice. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Himmat, for your time and all the insights you provide from your experience. Hoping to chat with you soon.
Bye. All right.